Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to have a Catholic conversation, actually like we often do, but with a particular intention this morning with Dr. Chris Bergwald. So I hope you will stick around for that portion of the program coming up. We'll have news for you in just a little bit. First, the readings, though, for this Sunday. Don Wolf with the first and second reading. Father Timothy Smith with the Gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Let me now sing of my friend, my friend's song concerning his vineyard. My friend had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He spade it, cleared it of stones, and planted the choicest vines. Within it he built a watchtower, and he hewed out a winepress. Then he looked for the crop of grapes, but what it yielded was wild grapes. Now inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I had not done? Why, when I looked for the crop of grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? Now I will let you know what I mean to do with my vineyard. Take away its hedge, give it to grazing, break through its wall, let it be trampled. Yes, I will make it a ruin. It shall not be pruned or hoed, but overgrown with thorns and briars. I will command the clouds not to send rain upon it. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his cherished plant. He looked for judgment, but see, bloodshed, for justice. But hark the outcry. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Then the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priest and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press on it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to the tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again, he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated him in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants, who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you ever read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes.' Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Now here's a look at some news highlights from this past week. Most Reverend Robert D. Gruce, Bishop of Rapid City, and the Most Reverend Paul J. Swain, Bishop of Sioux Falls, appointed Christopher Motes as the first executive director for the South Dakota Catholic Conference recently. The newly created conference will serve as the official voice of the bishops of South Dakota on issues of public policy, providing explanations of church teachings and their practical application. A state Catholic conference, which most states already have established, including those of our neighboring states, responds to and educates Catholics about proposed public policies of all levels of government. Especially important are those that impact the life and the dignity of all persons and the rights of Catholics to practice their faith, both personally and in the public square. As executive director, Motes will follow the development and implementation of public policies and communicate with public officials in all branches and at all levels of government, not only during the legislative session, but throughout the year. He will serve as a resource for clergy as well as for diocesan and parish staffs. In emotional interfaith prayer service at Guardian Angel Cathedral in Las Vegas, Bishop Joseph Pepe told those filling the pews this past week that in the face of tragedy, we need each other. And in the face of violence, we stand together because we cannot let hate and violence have the last word, he said in remarks at the evening service. We gather from all faiths and walks of life. We pray and sing and listen to the words of God to remind ourselves that amidst this tragedy, God is with us. Bishop Pepe said, God cries with our tears. The service at the cathedral brought together people as they were still trying to fathom what had occurred just earlier with the gunman who killed over 50 people in Las Vegas. Stories from the lived experience of the speakers took the place of policy discussions during Georgetown University's first Lives Worthy of Respect conference this past week. The mass killings in Las Vegas that evening before cast a pall over the event, which took place on the campus and was sponsored by the university's Pellegrino Center for Clinical Bioethics. It was held to coincide with the opening of the fall Supreme Court session. Washington Cardinal Donald Wuerl, the keynote speaker, observed of the shooting spree, "Such senseless acts of deadly violence boggle the mind." He led the crowd in a silent prayer to remember the 59 lives lost and the more than 500 who were injured. While tourists walking around the lobby of Rome's Crown Plaza Hotel eagerly discussed their vacation plans, young men and women from around the world were nestled in a nearby conference room engaged in a different kind of conversation. Five winners of the 2017 Bridge Builder Challenge gathered in Rome this past week, along with members of the GHR Foundation, a philanthropic association founded by a Catholic couple from Minnesota, to share their winning ideas, which ranged from launching tree-planting drones that will restore mangrove trees in Myanmar, to providing ethical mining jobs to former combatants in the Congo. The foundation, along with the Open IDEO, a web-based global innovation community with chapters worldwide, launched the first of three competitions for social innovators who will share a $1 million prize and will work with the GHR Foundation to continue to advance their ideas. Pope Francis has invited Christian and non-Christian young people from around the world to a meeting in preparation for the Synod of Bishops in 2018. Before concluding his weekly general audience this past week, he invited the youth to come and share their concerns with him. That's a look at news from this past week. Now let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Dr. Chris Bergwald, and we're going to have a Catholic conversation.
Yes, we are.
We say that as though it's the first time we've done that.
Right.
It is not. But no. What we're talking about really is a new program, a new opportunity, really, I should probably say, that Dr. Chris is doing around the diocese. And it's called a Catholic Conversation, and it's a Saturday morning get-together that you're doing around the diocese. Mm-hmm. Kind of a clever idea.
You say that as if you were involved with the planning.
Not at all.
Yeah, this is something part of the Bishop Marty Institute for the New Evangelization, and we've offered different opportunities, events, workshops, etc. So this is part of a series, I guess, in the sense that there are different things that we're going to be offering as part of the Institute, opportunities for Catholics to grow in their faith. But one of the ones that seems to be most well received is something that's a bit more informal, a lot of discussion in addition to presentation by myself and other guest speakers on occasion. As you said, around the diocese, serious not in the sense that it's always the same topic. It really depends on, frankly, what the local priest, the host pastor, thinks might be a good topic for his people and those in the area, together with my own input on in that way. And we offer them, yeah, as you said, all across the diocese. Again, usually Saturday mornings. On occasion, there's one during the week. But Saturday morning, you know, there's never a good time.
Yeah. So it's always a challenge to try to get a time when people can come together.
Exactly.
But at least the opportunity is there. Last time you were on, we talked about another kind of approach that you're taking, and that was the program called Equip.
Yep.
That you're working on. I'm fascinated that this all fits under this umbrella
of the Institute
and of really in the name of evangelization.
Yeah. Yeah. So because all of these things are different aspects of the whole process of evangelism. When most of us think, and this is Jerry, this includes people who are heavily involved in their faith, even those who work in and for the church. Mm-hmm. Usually, when we think of evangelization, we think of announcing the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel to people. And certainly it is that, but it's much more than that. You and I, over the years, last several years, have talked a lot about the emphasis that we've been taking in the work of discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
Discipleship is part of the process of evangelization. Much of the work of us growing in our faith, whether it's the beginning of our spiritual life or well into the depths of a mature spiritual life, almost all of that falls under this umbrella term of evangelization. So Equip, we talked about previously, is really an opportunity for those who are really already serious about their faith, who want to take a more serious, robust, systematic step in their own faith formation. That's part of the work of evangelization,
right?
As is something that Catholic Conversations, which again is more informal, more topical, come if you want, when you want, that sort of thing. Not systematic, but something that's hopefully interesting. That's also part of the work of evangelization.
What do you call it when, how does it fit under evangelization when you're simply trying to understand your own faith better? Isn't that, it's sort of self-evangelization.
I guess in a sense, we've used terms faith formation, catechesis, whatever, but that is the work of evangelization, because evangelization ultimately is about us growing closer to God in and through his son by the power of the Holy Spirit within the body of Christ, which is the church.
Ooh.
It's really long.
It's really nice. Right? That's like your mission statement, isn't it?
Pretty much. It could be. You're right. It could be. So however that happens.
Could be all of our mission statements.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So however that happens, for many of us, that might be we've got, somebody gave us a push, if you will, but then we're sort of self-starter, but self-educating through reading or listening or watching to various resources that are out there.
I gather, again, trying to keep the focus on the Catholic conversation, yeah, as we talk about this morning, this would be pretty non-threatening. This would be pretty approachable.
Yeah. Hopefully nothing that I do is threatening, but I know what you mean. Yeah, very approachable. So this Catholic Conversations in particular, if you're somebody who feels like, you know, I'm really interested in that topic, but I don't know anything about it. It's for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are conversations where we are really not presuming any level of familiarity with the topic that we're discussing. A few weeks ago, I was in Aberdeen talking about using the gifts that God has given to us to help build up his kingdom. No presumption there whatsoever that people would be aware of the gifts that God's given them,
right,
let alone what does it mean to build up the kingdom.
It's right.
Just really, I don't want to say basic, but you might call them basic presentations that way.
And that's not in any way to talk down to people.
Exactly.
It's just easier.
Yeah.
To start from a neutral place.
And part of that too is just, you know, I've learned the hard way. Sometimes you can go in and talk over people's heads, mm-hmm, and that's definitely not the intention, especially with Catholic Conversations.
Well, I would hope that people would have a good sense of you from certainly other things that you have done around the diocese, from the conversations that you and I have had, mm-hmm, on this program, mm-hmm, through the years. I hope that they would be familiar enough to know that you are very approachable, that
right,
this is a very easy and kind of safe place at which to engage.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, again, that's what we want Catholic conversations in particular to be. You know, we don't, there's no sign up to come. There's certainly no cost to come. So it's something where if the time works and the topic is interesting to you and it's in, and that particular event is nearby, you come the morning of or the, whatever the time is. And it's usually a couple hours, but it's not just presentation. It's discussion as well, small group discussion at tables, but also Q&A. Again, for a variety of reasons. One, the informality.
Right.
Two, I found that having some discussion, well, not everybody necessarily is in a place where they feel like they can contribute. The discussion, even if you don't say anything, is a good way to help make the content stick.
Mm-hmm.
Because I definitely don't want this to be something that goes in one ear and out the
other. It's not a lecture.
It's not a lecture. So we do like usually 4 20-minute presentations and then lots of discussion, Q&A around that.
Okay. So there are a series of these, as you mentioned.
Yep.
You've already done one in Aberdeen. You have another one coming up in a week or so in, maybe it's a little more than a week, in Chamberlain?
Yep. We're going to be at St. James in Chamberlain on Saturday the 21st. The topic for that presentation is Male and Female, He Created Them, God's Plan for the Human Person. So we're going to be looking at, you know, what does it mean to be human? What is Jesus' answer to that question? What does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be a man, to be a woman, to be a human person? What's God's plan for us? Because Jesus hasn't answered the question, what does it mean to be human? He was and he is human. And so especially today, there's lots of all sorts of issues in our culture that get to the meaning of the human person. Well, we want to look at what is the understanding that God has given us through his church of mm-hmm. on those issues.
Mm-hmm. And so if people have questions about that, or I suspect that's in a sense a pretty broad topic.
Yeah.
You could get questions yeah. from a lot of different directions.
Yeah, and that's another thing that I try to do with Catholic Conversations is go into it with a general idea where we're going to go. But depending on the discussion that we have, it might change the direction a little bit. Mm-hmm. So allowing basically where people are at, the questions they have, to guide the conversation.
Mm-hmm. The fact that you were hosting these in a particular parish does not limit it to...
Correct.
To, you want people to come.
Yep.
If you live in the region,
yep.
come on in.
If it's a topic, so in this case, if this is a topic you're interested in, St. James is this event at St. James. If you want to drive from wherever, yep. you're more yep. than welcome to come.
It's a beautiful facility.
It is a very nice hall.
I've been there. It's a very comfortable space, and I suspect their coffee is pretty good.
I bet it is.
Yeah. I know that's a high criteria for you.
It is a high criteria for me. It is good coffee.
That they have good coffee. But again, that is, we use that in a sense as a, and it's the wrong word, but an icebreaker.
Yep.
As a way to bring us together.
Yep.
And that's a deep part of our tradition as well.
Yep. Well, that's part. So it is a deep part of our tradition.
In a certain sense.
It's the body
sharing
of Christ.
A meal. Yeah.
We come together. The Mass is obviously a great example of that. But how often do we gather as a parish family or small groups or whatever? And there's food involved. You know, if you want people to come offer food or whatever. But that's not just sort of a pragmatic hook to get people to come. That's the reality of the human experience. Part of what it means to be human is to be in community.
Look
with
at that.
Others.
It ties right in.
Nice job. And that was you.
I like that. I didn't know I was going there.
I didn't either.
but I really see what you're saying yeah. there, that it is, that's an example of our human experience.
It is. We are, quote, Aristotle, the Greek philosopher who lived centuries before Jesus, said that the human being is a social animal. We're animals. We have bodies, et cetera. We're mammals, but we exist in community. We're meant for community because we are created in the image and likeness of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
So to me, this is a really interesting concept, and it seems so very simple, and it is so very simple. But as members of the church today, we don't experience in the same way that our ancestors did, and I'm thinking particularly maybe two generations ago, where the church really was the focal point.
Right.
Where social activities, where obviously church activities and faith activities, school, everything was centered on the church.
Yep.
And in a sense, we've lost some of that.
Yep.
We don't think about it in even that same way today. This, to me, is a way to bring that back in a sense, at least a bit.
Yeah. So we, we talk a lot in our office about, because in our case, our diocese is so geographically large, mm-hmm. that we try to offer things virtually, online things. And there are all sorts of other organizations that are offering great online resources so that people can, so that they don't need to travel to grow in their faith, that they can do it from the comfort of their own homes, which is a great thing. Again, we're trying to do that. But there is something to be said about coming together with other like-minded people and growing in your faith together. We just, as we're recording this last weekend, had our young adult retreat. Fully Alive was the theme this year. Mm-hmm. We had our young adult retreat, diocesan young adult retreat, held it down at Broomtree Retreat Center outside of Irene. And that's something that that group of people, like all of us, long and yearn for is to come together with people, in this case, similar stage in life, to grow in our faith together and to grow in community with one another. So I'm all about making things available for people to do from the comfort of their own homes, but there is still something to be said for coming together in community and conversation with others as we grow in our faith together.
Yeah, I don't know if that's part of who we are as human beings. Yeah. I suspect it is. We can have all the technology in the world, and we still have a bit of that longing somewhere in us.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So maybe you'll talk about that as well.
Probably.
I'm kind of writing your talk for you.
This is going to be easy.
As we go this morning.
I'm just going to play. I'm going to say James and just play this episode of Catholic Views.
Just play this episode of Catholic Views. Who knew that was going to happen? I love how the Holy Spirit works. To me, all of this is... again, they're pieces of the whole, and I think that's important for people to understand when they think about who they are as members of the church, as members of the body of Christ. What is it that they might be being called to? What is it that they might be being led to by something so simple as a Catholic conversation?
Exactly. So, and that sort of touches on the fact that these are topical in nature. So there are usually... for each of us, there's usually a different way in. So initially, when we get into our faith or when we're growing deeper in our faith, there's something that intrigues or attracts. I mean, our faith is so broad, mm-hmm. but we're usually drawn to, the vast majority of us are drawn to one aspect of it in particular. And so that's part of why we try to offer these as different topics based on what the host pastor thinks will be of interest to people, not only for his parish, but in the area as well. Trying to think of what issues are on people's minds. So some of the other talks that are coming up, Catholic Conversations coming up this fall, we're doing one at St. Therese in Sioux Falls, early November, on a Catholic perspective on the Reformation, mm-hmm. because we're about to quote-unquote celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. Later in November, I'll be at Holy Name in Watertown, and Father Mike Wenzing, the pastor at Holy Name, wanted to talk about the rise of the nuns, N-O-N-E-S.
Right, right.
Those many Americans, especially millennials, who have no religious affiliation. So again, what is it that intrigues or attracts me, rather than having one topic that we do everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
Offering a variety so that hopefully there will be something that will fit with your interests.
Mm-hmm. So those are the ones scheduled so far. I suspect you're kind of just taking this as they come.
Yeah.
And again, if you're trying to stay topical, you got to kind of see what's going on in the world.
Exactly.
And that's the other place I wanted to go next with this conversation, and that is it's been a tough week again in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. in our country and in our world. And people don't quite know what to do.
Right.
They don't quite know how to respond. I see conversations, quote unquote conversations, that happen on social media that aren't very healthy.
Yep.
And so, again, maybe this is a way for us to do a better job.
Yeah. Yeah. Our faith has so much to offer us, and just saying that sounds trite, but it's true. Our faith has so much to offer us, not just for Sunday morning or my weekday morning, but every part of my life. So, we had this horrendous mass shooting in Las Vegas last week. Mm-hmm. You and I got to pray with a good friend who had to bury her daughter. Mm-hmm. Just the reality of pain and suffering and tragedy on a small scale, quote unquote, or on a massive scale. Our faith has something. God has something to offer to us. Not even to say to us. That's sort of like, he's with us, and he is with us through one another. That's the whole community piece again. That he's through other people, God speaks to us what we need when we need it. We just need to have our eyes, our ears, our minds, and our hearts open to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
I say just as if that's easy. Sometimes it's not easy.
Sometimes it's not. Yeah, and sometimes the circumstances make it very difficult.
Very difficult. And yet we know that he is in our midst.
Yeah. So, again, there's all kinds of reasons why someone might be thinking about coming to the Catholic Conversation, be wondering about it, be looking for something, in a sense. That is maybe a more productive way to have a conversation than some of the social media stuff that happens. There's some wonderful things that happen on social media, but there's some awful things that happen as well.
Just briefly, and I'm not sure how much time we have, but I was struck by the fact, Jerry, that Bishop Robert Barron recently went to Facebook, not just on Facebook, went to Facebook and gave a presentation, which was live streamed on Facebook, and you can still watch it, how to have a religious argument.
Yeah.
And his point was, I don't know if you've watched
it. I have. It's fascinating.
I completely agree with his point that we need to actually have not yelling matches, quarrels, but real conversation. Argument in the technical sense of the term. We just yell and shout and scream at one another, usually on social media. Let's actually have a real argument in the true sense of the word and discuss the issue and not how stupid you are for thinking that or whatever.
Right. Yeah. It devolves into the personal so quickly, and it's so sadly to do that. All right. Well, I hope that in listening this morning, maybe this has sparked something for people to think about joining into the Catholic Conversation in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. Again, maybe share with us those dates that are coming up and the places that people can find them.
Yeah. Saturday, October 21st, we'll be at St. James in Chamberlain. That'll be from 9:30 till 11:30 in the morning. And then on Thursday, November 9th, 7 p.m. at St. Therese in Sioux Falls. That one's going to be on the Reformation. And then November 18th, Saturday morning, 9:30 to 11:30, Holy Name in Watertown on the Rise of the Nuns.
And again, I suspect these are on the website.
Yep.
If you want to know more, if you want to maybe suggest a topic even,
sure.
Are you open
sure.
to that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you contact me, call me, email me, whatever you need to do to find out more, to throw out a topic for a future conversation, I'd be happy to hear that.
If you're listening this morning and you need to motivate your own pastor to invite Chris, that's probably okay too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. We'll see what happens. Sounds good. Dr. Chris Bergwald, as always, great to have you as a guest on Catholic Views.
You bet.
That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. Please join us again next Sunday morning.